You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
New Zealand has an ageing population, and it's projected that by 2036, one in 4.5 New Zealanders will be over the age of 65. That's a 77% increase from what it was in 2016. And many other developing countries are facing a similar phenomenon, and with it comes concerns for the economy and also for the quality of life of our elderly citizens. To discuss this, I interviewed Age Concerns Chief Executive, Stephanie Clare, and I began by asking, what's the cause of an ageing boom, besides the simple people aren't having enough kids fact?
You know, the surprising factor is that we're all living longer. We're living longer, and there's more older people living longer. So those are the numbers of a growing older population. That's just as simple as that.
In 2017, there were more people aged 65 than those under 5, which, according to a Massey University professor, has never happened before in high-income countries. As the population ages, what concerns are there for the quality of care for elderly people?
I think for many older people, they want to know that they can have the services that they need to live a good life and live a life that they choose to live. So as we age, we all have the same desires as we do when we're younger, but we have them, and those, you know, we continue to have them as we get older. So the things that are really important are health, access to health, access to technology, access to families, inclusion in the decision-making of life. So not to be forgotten, not to be excluded. So it's really important that older people get have an opportunity to influence what they want their life to look like.
As the regional cities and districts of New Zealand are ageing fast, while at the same time youth there are declining, how should districts prepare for a future with an aged population, particularly with agriculture and farming, which is a big generator for New Zealand's economy?
So all areas should know their population, so how many people live there, who lives in their community, and what needs do they have. Many local governments are now looking at age-friendly setups, so how does that city or town, how is it easy to get around, how is it easy for housing, what other infrastructures are required to live there for as long as possible. In our rural community, they've been working together for many, many years. We know rurality is one of those more, you can be more isolated, you can be more further out than the main centres, but working together as community members mean that all those community members get their needs met. So infrastructure is really important. What does the bus system look like? Is there a bus system? How do you get around your city? Are there ramps for wheelchairs and pushchairs? Is there good housing? Is there things that older people need, you know, food? Other bits and pieces about that are very important. So is the infrastructure of local government, does it support age-friendly into the future?
Just on that note of infrastructure, there have been talks, for example, in Wellington of creating down by the viaduct, no car areas with lots of just walkways for people. But I'm wondering, while that's great for the environment and I understand why there's a need for that, what does that mean for our elderly population who, for example, getting a bus may be a bit difficult, or who really rely on cars to get around and live their lives?
That's exactly about the infrastructure I was meaning. That, so every city has its own issues around its community. It could be that physically it's hilly, or it's inland, or there's wide footpaths or narrow footpaths. But consultation with that community to make sure it meets the needs of that community is really important. So where there is more likely to be paths for travelling around the city or travelling around the waterfront, that actually you can still get a car in if needed. If you make sure that's wide enough for the multi access points for people with pushchairs, runners, scooters, making sure that the infrastructure works for its community. So consultation on that community is really, really important. And older people, like younger people, still want to have a say on what's going on there. So it's really important that our seniors have a chance to say what they need to make sure that they have got what they need.
With a disproportionately ageing population, there are concerns about the future of our economy as more people stop working. Conversely, will elderly people be expected to work for longer? Like, for example, their retirement age is currently 65, but that's going up to 67 by 2023. And as concerns for the future of our economy and building back after COVID-19 become more emphasised, is there worry that elderly people will be expected to work for much longer than they feel able to or want to?
Yeah, so coincidentally today, one quarter of our over 65s continue to work. So that's the number of older people who have hit the retirement age. Remembering retirement's not compulsory. Get a pension, you get to pick up at 65, but actually to stop work is not compulsory unless you're a pilot. And actually, a lot of people still retain and maintain work environments because they like them. They actually like going to work. They've got good friendships. They like being part of the community. They like what they do. And then it's a group of people that have to work because they don't have enough money to retire on. So, yes, we're going to see a lot more older people working. But that's not a bad thing. It means that older people have got good skills, got good history, and certainly have seen things before. So, and older people can learn. So remembering a workforce, you often get taught a job when you move into a workforce. You can teach older people, you know, to do new things. They've learned and had many, many years of training and adapting. So this older community shouldn't be overlooked. It is a great workforce. We are, as older community members, the pillar of the volunteer sector as well. So even if we're not in paid work, the other seniors are working in volunteer roles, keeping clubs, keeping charities like ourselves, Age Concerns, running and rolling along. So I think we are going to see, and we're going to have to respect that seniors have a contribution to make to our workforce. And understanding that and accepting that means that we can all work together to make sure we have what we need.
How would you address the tension of, yes, absolutely, old people have a real contribution to make to society and the workforce, but also for young people who are finding it difficult to find a job or hold a job, and especially with, you know, COVID-19 and everything, how do you address that tension of old people continuing to work whereas young people are finding it hard to get work?
It is a tension, but often it's because there's differences there. So maybe they're not going for the same job, they're not wanting the same things. Maybe an older person doesn't want a full-time job, wants a part-time job, wants to work in an area that supports new staff, mentors more people. Staying in a job also opposed to leaving the job, so staying in a job that you like and you know. You can step into a mentoring role and have new staff, younger staff members coming in and learning that job. There are ways around making the workforce work for that community or for the role or for the business itself. So good, clear guidelines or job descriptions, good clear expectations, and then flexibility around workforce too. So we know that our seniors may want to be able to be part-time so they can look after grandchildren or actually have other activities in their life or volunteer somewhere. So it's understanding that role of that employer, what they're advertising for, and then understanding what the fit of the new person will be, and really clearly digging down and looking at what that person might be able to be adding value to that role. So it's not so much about competition, it's about complementing the workforce that we've currently got and making sure that that workforce has the right skills and expertise. So you can be older or you can be younger, but you can be part of that solution for that workforce. So the competition I don't see is there. There are different needs for different organisations and different businesses.
Post-work with an ageing population, is there concern about where old people will go if we have enough retirement facilities? And also, how do you encourage people to study to take care of elderly people, especially with the added concern of passing on or contracting COVID-19?
So there were two questions there. One is about retirement or living living situations. There are a number of ways of places to live as you get older. One of them is a retirement village, and one of them is your own home. One of them is your family home with your children or with others. It could be a flatting situation of seniors. There are a number of ways of living in your senior years, and we are seeing more and more seniors retire without enough money to own their own home. So we're seeing a lot more seniors in the rental market. So that's a good choice. That's choice and what's available at the time. And that's not a bad thing. It's allowing to understand what choice you need to live in the community you want to live in. So moving out of your community isn't maybe what you want to do. Living in the community that you know, the place that you've grown up, the people that you know down the street, the people that you can acknowledge in your day-to-day life. So living situation is taken in a case-by-case scenario for that older person. And it's really, really important, first of all, but for our seniors, that they have choice. And a retirement village is one of the choices that they have. And looking after our seniors is just as important as looking after our children. Looking after those older members of society that have lived here, worked here, and been part of decisions over the years is just as important as looking after them as you know, any age in any community.
Do you think that immigration could be an answer to balance out an ageing population? Because even though New Zealand has an ageing population, other countries around the world are having a youth boom. For example, Afghanistan has 42% of their population is under 15. Do you think maybe encouraging youth from other nations to migrate to New Zealand could be a solution to balance out the concerns that an ageing population brings?
Yes, I think it's concerns about an ageing population. I don't think anyone's going to be migrating for a little while across the world. So I think we have to live with what we've got and respect the communities that we have on shore in Aotearoa now. So it's understanding what each of the generations have to give to life and what each of the generations can share and what skill they've got. So we do have an older population, but no more than our other blue zones in the world, like Japan, and they are all now working out how they can care for their seniors just as much as we are.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.